Howdy, Eben. Reckon you've been expecting.
Yeah, well, I guess so.
You ready to take a little trip?
Where to?
Back. Way back through the years.
Oh, but how can I go with you?
It's real easy. You see, I'm the ghost of Christmas past. Your past, Eben. Let's shove on.
The next thing Eben knew, he and that ghost were standing out on a snow-covered prairie. There was a circle of covered wagons in front of them, and the people from the wagons were gathered together and listening to a tall, white-bearded man. He was reading the Bible.
Great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto
and
you. You shall find a babe.
The ghost turned and pointed to a boy sitting away from the others on the tailboard of one of the wagons. Small boy, about 10 years old, with hollowed cheeks and his eyes all red from crying.
Oh no.
It was Eben himself. On a Christmas day, a long, long time ago. Not a very happy Christmas either. It was only a week since the oxen had stampeded and his ma had been killed when she fell from the wagon. His paw had died with an Apache arrow in his chest.
Now, I don't want to look at him anymore. Can't you show me another Christmas?
Well, it was no sooner said than done. Now Eben and the ghost were in a bunkhouse. And Eben saw himself again. Oh, he's 10 years older than the boy on the prairie, but he was lying on a blanket staring up at the ceiling. And then his pal, Jay, came running in, all out of breath.
Come on, Eb. Get a clean shirt on. We got us an invite to a party.
Huh?
Yeah, the boss is throwing a big shindig. He says he'll fire us if we don't show up.
Eben couldn't help remembering that party. Oh, the roast beef and the baked ham and square dancing and the pretty girls in their calico. He couldn't help saying out loud to the ghost.
Oh, dear. How I wish I...
What was that, Eben?
Nothing, Mr. Spirit. Nothing. I was just remembering how I treated my foreman today. That's all.
After that, the ghost took Eben to three or four more of his old Christmases. And none of them were very happy. Especially that Christmas when the young schoolmarm, sitting on the horsehair sofa, had unwrapped the tiny box Eben gave her and then handed it back to him.
It's a lovely ring, Eben. But I can't wear it.
Well, you're not courting somebody else.
No, Eben. But you are. You're courting something else.
Bill.
Land and money, cattle, profits. They mean more to you than I ever would. I'm sorry.
Mr. Ghost, no more of the past. Please, I've seen enough. A man wants to forget.
Sure, Eben. Whatever you say.
And before Eben could blink his eyes, he was right back in the hotel room. But once he got there, he blinked real hard because all of a sudden the ghost was becoming a different person. He was getting fatter and his stomach popped out 2 or 3 inches and a few wrinkles creased his cheeks. And finally his chaps turned into a shiny blue serge suit with a heavy gold chain dangling across the vest.
Hey, well, what's happened to you? Why are you so different now?
You seem to be getting tired of the past, so I thought we might take a gander at the present. If you've got no objections.
Well, the hotel room just melted away, and Eben was looking at that cabin his foreman had built on Holly Creek. Well, that cabin sure was crowded. Oh, there must have been 5 or 6 children, all helping their mother get the Christmas dinner, all laughing and talking, as busy as summer colts. But when their father came in, he had a long face and a tired mouth, and his wife looked up and wanted to know what was troubling him.
Oh, I was thinking about old Eben.
That's not a very pleasant thought for Christmas, Bob. By the way, what did he want with you yesterday? Was it about this cabin?
Hmm? Yeah. Oh, no, of course not. Well, let's get on with dinner. Sit down, everybody. Now, where's my Jim, huh? Well, I guess we're just going to have to eat.
And Bob looked all around the room. He was pretending he didn't see the little fellow in the corner. The boy with an iron brace on his leg and a wooden crutch propped up against the wall. But little Tim, he wasn't going to be ignored.
Here I am.
Bob picked him up and carried him over to the table.
God bless this food, this house, and us and our friends. Even old Evan. Amen.
The family found that part about Evan a little hard to swallow, but they finally managed, and Tim was the last one to chime in.
God bless us, everyone.
Evan didn't want to watch what was going on in that cabin any longer, but the next place the ghost showed him wasn't much easier on him. There was a big party going on at his nephew's house back in the livery stable. And one of the ladies was blindfolded, you see, and she was trying to pin the tail onto a donkey. But there was something peculiar about this donkey, about the way it was drawn. It looked more like a person than an animal. Well, Eben recognized who it was supposed to be right off.
You see, folks, I invited Uncle Eben to be with us, but he turned me down flat. So I figured we'd have him here in spirit, if not in the flesh.
Right back in the hotel room again. That's where Eben found himself.
Spirit. Spirit, you showed me the past and the present. What's left to see?
The future, Eben. The future.
And that's how Eben came to see a Christmas of the future. A cold, brittle Christmas. And there are two men standing on a street corner and coat collars turned up so that keep out the snow.
Oh, he's dead, all right. Dead as a doornail. Sure is a Christmas present I never expected. At least whoever handles his property won't be as hard to deal with as he was. Wonder if they'll bother giving him a funeral.
And in a frame house over on the side street in the edge of town, a woman was speaking to her husband.
Funny. To me, he's been dead for years. Well, I haven't even thought of him since I don't know when. And yet, you know, once I was real fond of him. Funny, isn't it?
Ghost! Who are they talking about? Those men on the street. That woman I used to know. Who is it that's dead? Tell me.
And the ghost slowly turned and stretched out a long, thin, bony finger. And there, right at the end of that finger, was a tombstone all covered with weeds. Eben could barely make out the name that was carved on it.
Ebenezer Scrooge. No.
No, no! What's this? Where am I?
Where and you know what? He was right in his own bed, in his own nightshirt, and the sun was streaming through the frosted windows. But Eben didn't stay there very long, not for very long. He got into his boots and trousers as fast as he could, and he dashed down the stairs, out into the street. Well, you see, the stores being closed gave Eben quite a problem. Well, he'd just have to make Fuzzy Wagner open the butcher shop up, that's all. Of course, Fuzzy didn't have much choice, seeing as how the shop was located in one of Eben's buildings. And when Eben told him what he wanted, a turkey and a ham, well...
No. I'd better make it two hams and send them out to the cabin on the S&M ranch. And they're not to know that I ordered them. You understand, Fuzzy? Here's the money and a little extra for your trouble.
Well, before Fuzzy could get his jaw shut up again, Eben was on his way, and he headed right straight out to his nephew's house. And Eben was the life of the party, too. Well, the way he carried on, he's laughing and making jokes and telling stories on himself, and he insisted that they use that donkey with his face on it when they played games, you know.
Because that's what I've been all these years, a real four-footed, long-eared donkey.
And the next morning, though, that's what Eben enjoyed the most. He was up bright and early and hitched the team to the buckboard and drove out to the S&M, hurrying the horses all the way.
Come on, Bess. Come on, Martha. Step a little lively.
If he could just get out there before his foreman started tearing down that cabin.
Whoa, whoa, Martha. Whoa, whoa. Yeah. Mm. Well, Robert?
Yes, sir?
I see you ain't carried out my orders.
Well, it was Christmas. I just couldn't tell him. I'll do it today.
Oh! This is the last straw. I'm not putting up with your shenanigans any longer, young fellow.
But please,
that cabin's coming down and no buts about it. And then... we're building a new ranch house in its place. Big enough for you and your whole family.
What?
Oh, yes. I'm also doubling your wages as of last week. Merry Christmas, Bob. Even if I am a day late. No, not a day. More like half a lifetime. But Merry Christmas anyway. And as your son says, God bless us. Everyone.
Well, that's the way things worked out, Johnny, more or less.
Well, that's a fine story, Mr. Real fine. I reckon I know why you told it to me.
How's that?
So that I'd understand about Christmas and how important it is to do for other people instead of just thinking about yourself.
Well, no, I didn't have that in mind, especially. The story just happened to come into my head, that's all.
Maybe if I had to give Aunt Millie something, a present, maybe. Oh, shucks, what could I give her? I don't have no money.
Well, of course, there are lots of things don't cost a penny, not a single red cent, you know.
Hmm?
Well, now, you... Let's see. Take that little spruce over there. I'd be real easy to cut that down with a little fixing, maybe a few doodads from around the house. I'll bet you can make a Jim Dandy Christmas tree out of that.
I suppose so, but what good's a tree without something to put under it?
Oh, yeah, I see what you mean. Johnny, you don't happen to know Jim Bender, do you? In Thompson's Corner and his three daughters?
He's only got two, mister, Sarah and Emily.
Oh, that's so. I was spending Christmas with them. It looks like I'm carrying an extra present. It's a real pretty little red bonnet with feathers on it.
I couldn't take it, mister.
Oh, no. I wasn't thinking of giving it to you, Johnny. But I was sort of hoping that you'd show me the trail from here on in. Of course, it would mean you're turning around going back home, but if I was to cause you changing your plans, I'd feel obligated to pay you back some way, you know.
Well,
it would be only fair. Trouble is, I haven't got much money, so if you wouldn't mind accepting the bonnet instead, you'd be doing me a real favor, Johnny.
There's Aunt Millie out in the yard. She looks mad in a wet hand.
Well, there is a resemblance. I'll have to admit that.
Where in tarnation have you been, John Carville? I've been looking high and low for you since dawn.
Well, I just went for a little ride, Aunt Millie, to get us a Christmas tree, see?
Christmas tree? Fiddlesticks.
This gentleman won't even cut it down. I'll just take it inside. Be right back, mister.
If we had any use for a Christmas tree. I suppose he's figuring there'll be a whole lot of presents under it.
No, don't think so. But just between you and me, I got a hunch there'll be at least one person waiting for somebody.
What are you talking about?
Oh, no. It wouldn't be fair for me to speak out before Christmas. You know that.
You don't mean he's got something for me?
No. You mustn't get too curious so early.
But I thought he didn't like me. I thought he just hated having to live here with an old maid. I guess I just don't know nothing about kids. Nothing at all. I don't deserve to get...
I think I'd better get moving along. Say goodbye to Johnny for him, will you? And I wonder if you'd give this to him.
Hmm?
Here, tell him the little blade on it's kind of dull, but...
A pocket knife?
Yeah.
Now, how did you know?
So long, man.
Oh, God bless you, mister. And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Please remember now, beginning December 31st, the six-shooter will be on Thursdays instead of Sundays. We hope you'll join us in our new time. The Six Shooter is an NBC Radio Network production in association with Review Productions. The transcribed story was written by Frank Burt in collaboration with Charles Dickens. Mr. Stewart may soon be seen in the Universal International picture, The Glenn Miller Story. Howard McNair played Scrooge, and special music was by Basil Adlam. The entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents are fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. And now, until Thursday the 31st, this is Hal Gibney speaking. Merry Christmas. Hear Rex Harrison and Anna Lee in the NBC Star Playhouse on the NBC Radio Network.